It's a brand new year, and Every Plate is here to help you achieve all your resolutions. Every Plate helps you save money with delicious, affordable recipes delivered to your door. Plus, if you're looking to cook more, Every Plate helps you expand your cooking skills with easy-to-follow recipes that you can whip up in just 6 simple steps. It's going to be a great year with Every Plate. I know we are all about saving money here at Is This Going to Cause an Argument? And with America's Best Value Kit, it helps us do that all year round. It's actually 25% cheaper than grocery shopping, which means I can save money on groceries and put it towards some like really fun new things that I want in 2023. And they also have a new meal preference. It's called Nutrish and Delish, featuring around 650 calories or less. Each wholesome, satisfying dish helps you stay on track with your goals without all the guesswork. Leave the calorie counting to us and dig into some delicious lettuce wraps, rice bowls, and more. So listen, let me tell you, we love Every Plate in our household. We love the fact that we get fresh produce to be able to cook for our kids, that the steps are easy to follow. Because, listen, I can't be trying to follow stuff that was meant for a fifth-level black belt chef. I don't even know if they give out belts when you're in culinary school.
I don't think they do.
But that's what it feels like when they give me too complicated of directions. You don't have to worry about that with Every Plate, and it's always going to be a meal that your family enjoys. I know our boys love it. So get $1.39 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code
ARGUE139. ARGUE139.
Get started with Every Plate for just $1.39 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code ARGUE139.
ARGUE139. Do they give, does the jacket change for culinary arts?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what. It's Every Plate, and they are giving that us up to $134 value to our listeners.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Every Plate. What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? My name is Angel Tanksley, also known as Angel Akita Moore, better known as That Chick Angel, That Chick Angel. Oh, you didn't even see that coming, did you? Who I'm talking to right now, because you know, you might not have heard his voice yet if you skipped over that ad, is my gorgeous husband, boyfriend, lover. Tell him who you are, babe.
So annoying. I'm Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. I'm the other host of This Is Gonna Cause an Argument. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. You understand me? This is a podcast we do every single week, except for 1 week last year. Single goddamn week. We're going to be here every single week this year, except for 1 week, hopefully two or three. And it's a podcast we talk about any and everything we goddamn feel like it. This is our podcast. We built this from the ground up. If this is your first time tuning in, you shouldn't be. I don't know why, but what?
I'm just listening to you, seeing how you're going to land the plane. I'm listening.
Oh, I'm about to land it.
I know. I'm just listening.
But if you decide to come back, you need to go on over there to our Patreon and be a part of that immediate family, because they're watching us right now record this live. We watching their comments roll in. They watch us and talk to us before and after and during the podcast. You can go to patreon.com/thatchickangel and be a part of that immediate family. For the low, low of $5 a month.
And we have some sponsors today that we are so grateful for. You already heard from one named
Plates.
Yeah, Every Plate. Make sure you check them out. And we have a new sponsor of today's podcast that I'll tell you about a little bit later called Dock-A-Tock, which is perfect, the perfect gift, the perfect thing to gift yourself if you are a new parent or a parent of a baby or toddler. But I'll tell you more about that later. But know that when you check out our sponsors and use our promo code, you are supporting us, and we greatly appreciate it. Y'all, we in the full swing of the new year. Like,
yeah,
ain't no like half stepping it no more. We in this thing fully. And we're doing some changes over here at the podcast. There was a new segment that we were going to debut, but it's not quite ready. So we'll see how that goes maybe next week. So let's actually take it back to an old segment that we like to do. Mm-hmm. Would you like to do Tanksley Pride? Let's do Tanksley Pride because we did In My Feelings last week.
Yeah.
Tanksley Pride story. Of course, you always have something that has
no, no,
you.
No, this is just like, oh, man.
You want to do In My Feelings, baby?
No, we can do Tanksley Pride. But I just...
We're doing In My Feelings.
No, we're going to do Tanksley Pride because we got a lot of Tanksley Pride stuff to talk about.
I know, but you really want to get some stuff off your chest.
It ain't nothing I got to get off my chest. I just heard some news, bad news.
Come on.
I'm from Kentucky, as y'all know, Lexington, Kentucky. I just found out my gym teacher, Miss Miller, her funeral's today.
Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Yeah, I didn't know that. Why did you tell me?
I found out on the way here.
We've been in this room.
I know, but we've been working. But the reason that's like, yeah, elementary school, like kindergarten through fifth grade. But me, my brother, and sister all had the same gym teacher.
Aww.
And she would come into the mom's office and she'd ask about me all the time. I was like, oh, man. Anyway,
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Punk-Ass Gilmore. Nah, he was a principal of Bryan Station Magnet Traditional High School. His punk ass.
I know your response would be completely different if it was
his
funeral.
Oh, yeah, he can kiss my ass. His funeral. I might go take a shot. Nah, I ain't even going to say that.
No, you're not. You're not going to do that.
But, yeah, Miss Miller.
Oh, well, rest in peace, Miss Miller.
Yeah, but anyway, let's do Tanksley Pride.
Tanksley Pride. If this is your first time watching or listening, Tanksley Pride is a segment we do where we talk about one of or all of or some of our four boys, Marcus, Sai, Kai, and Amar. We call them Tanksley Pride. So kick it off, baby. What's your Tanksley Pride story?
So we just landed this morning.
A couple hours ago. 10 hours ago, yep.
Yeah. Just got back from the Bahamas. And then we went on this trip basically a family trip we took, but we did it for our kids. Mm-hmm. And took the mamas and everything. But anyway, my Tanksley Pride story is a few. It's like, one, the fearlessness of Amar. Mm-hmm. Because he's a pandemic baby.
Yeah.
Like, he was born right before the pandemic and lived majority of his life in the quarantine of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. In the pandemic. So it's not like he got a lot of like exterior experience at a younger age.
Right.
But Angel took him on this, experience?
So you not want that to be my
story? It can be yours.
Since I experienced it, you didn't get a chance to see it.
I didn't. I saw it. I saw the video.
You saw video. I'm saying you're going to get a good chance to experience
it. That was a lot of me and him. The one I will talk about is, y'all, we got to get in the water with some dolphins, right?
We did.
I want a dolphin.
I do too.
I'm like, let's sell the house. Let's get something big enough to where we can have these dolphins.
We will live in
two,
a shack.
Swimming around, and we can swim with them, and they do tricks. First of all, dolphins and octopus are scary intelligent.
Yeah.
It's to the point to where I don't like how intelligent they are because it is a little eerie. But we got in the water. It's like massive water dogs.
That's exactly.
And they're so gentle and kind, and they, you know, the way they're able to communicate. The woman was just sitting there talking to her. She's like, okay, Naamu, you do this, and she just do it. It wasn't a whole bunch of hand signals.
Yeah, I was like, how she know what the
hell? She was like, no,
saying?
She has the ears. You see her ears, like she can hear us talking. I was like, that's crazy. You can see them, like, you know how dolphins and stuff, they come up above and look. They're actually looking off in the distance. When they jump up in the air, in the wild, they're looking off into the distance. So to know that this thing is swimming by us and she's making eye contact with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, like, to touch them, and the kids, of course, Sai or Kai was like trying to touch, but at the same time trying not to touch. Like,
I don't know which one.
I think
one.
It was Sai. Kept like fading to the back. But to see them, it was just neat to see them interact with them, and even little Marcus, to see them interact with the dolphin and get to touch the dolphin. And to have that experience, I was just like.
It's crazy. It was crazy.
It really was.
It was. There were so many things that, like, first of all, it seemed like the dolphins were teleporting.
No, no, no. It seemed like they were skipping frames. The dolphin would jump up in the air and spin 150 yards away, land in the water, and then pop up in front of you. I'm like, how many either there's a time warp between here and there, or there's another dolphin right here. It's like, as soon as you land, like, y'all timed it wrong, because you wasn't even all the way in the water over there yet.
That's exactly.
Where's Naamu? I don't want Keisha yet. Give me Naamu.
They had a dolphin rap to us.
She
like
rapped.
A rapper. I was like.
She rapped.
I said, I can't take this no more. It was so, and the kids, go, please continue. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So the kids, they truly, truly enjoyed it. Like, we were already blown away. Like, there's a couple of things you can go, you see, like, sharks. Like, there's slides you go in, and you in an aquarium as you're sliding through. Sharks are floating above, swimming above you and, like, laying on top of the tank. And you just like, dang, there's a shark. There's a, what's this, a sawfish. Is that a shark or is it a fish?
It's a fish, I think.
Anyway, the size of a shark. It's swimming around. We're looking at that. We're looking at stingrays, the turtles. Mm-hmm. So we're already mesmerized by this. But then to get in the water with these dolphins and for the kids to, and Kai, the whole time, the entire time, that boy. So the whole time we're in the water with these dolphins, he's trying to throw us random facts. We're like, Kai, tell us afterwards. He's like, but Kai, tell us afterwards. You're going to have to tell it. Just listen. Pay attention. So and we never did let him tell it. We was like, no, because you're going to miss something. And he ended up missing something because he turned around to did you? Kai, you just missed it. The dolphin just did something miraculous and you missed it because you're trying to tell us. And I'm thinking this random ass fact that don't mean nothing about nothing. So we finally, as soon as we got done, we was like, okay, Kai, I don't remember what he told us, but it didn't mean nothing.
It didn't. And I was just like, because I wanted to hear the woman. I wanted to see everything. I was like, Kai, stop. Because
it's literally in the middle of a presentation. We're like, Kai, this can wait.
And it costs so much money. Don't want to miss any of this. Hush up talking to me, boy.
But yeah, just seeing them out there. And even Marcus, he lightened up, you know, because he's settling down in his teenagehood, mm-hmm. getting all quiet and just to himself, but to see him out there and able to open up and experience that, it was a good experience to see.
I mean, we were like them.
I mean, yeah, we were more excited than they were. I gave the dolphin CPR.
Yes, he did. It was so dope. They
told us, she was like, make your hands like us, put your hands in the water and go and say squirt, squirt.
No, we had to say skirt, skirt.
Oh, that's skirt, what skirt, was, yeah.
Skirt, skirt.
So we put our hands in the water, go skirt, skirt, and then the dolphin rolls over on her belly.
Like she's a dead
like
fish.
Like she's dead. She was like, oh, we have to bring her back. She's got to need CPR. And the lady doing the thing said, you're going to play cops and robbers. And I was like, I don't want to be either against this dolphin.
Right.
Because this is her habitat. She can skip frames.
Right.
She's teleporting. She was like, okay, you can be the paramedic. I was like, all right, I'll be the paramedic. I'm just going to, I didn't know that was going to come into play. So the dolphin's laying on her back. She was like, oh, she needs CPR, bring her back. I was like, oh. So I go and press on the dolphin's belly, and she shook, scared the hell out of me.
He's like, I don't think she liked it.
I don't think she liked it. I just knew I was dead. Like, she done ripped out my sternum. I don't even realize it yet. You know, so, you know, a movie, somebody get cut with the sword, and they just still trying to fight. Like, hold on.
Right.
Oh, my body fell in half. Then she was like, oh, do it again. So I did it again. And she jerked again, and then, like, came back to life, started to swim. She swam like a shark.
That was Palmer. Palmer swing.
She's like, she likes movies. So everybody do the music from Jaws. Da, 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 da. And then she starts swimming. So da, 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 da. In case you're forgetting, sharks' fins go vertical. So they swim side to side. Dolphins are horizontal, so they go up and down. I don't know how she was able to. I know that's her habitat. How she was able to move like a shark, it was insane to me.
It was all crazy. It was all crazy. I just cannot express.
They need to change that water filter because I know a little pee trickled out or something.
Oh yeah. Oh that yeah.
Dodge it.
Well, listen, and I had to pee, and usually I'll pee in somebody's ocean water. Yeah, I ain't got no problem.
You don't want
to
piss it off.
I was just like, I don't want to confuse these babies. I don't want them to think, oh, there's sardine over there. Let me go have it. Mm-mm, no.
They don't know you an evil person if a dolphin attack you.
For real. They're like,
that's like, got attacked by a flock of butterflies. What kind of person are you?
A flock of butterflies. Yeah. You're stupid. Today's episode is brought to you by Dakotot. Mamas, if you are expecting, have a newborn, or looking for a gift, we have the perfect item for you. Dr. Talk is a lifestyle brand made for the modern parent and creates functional solutions for feeding, playing, resting, sleeping, lounging, and beyond. From their adorable sleeping essentials to whimsical play tents and nursing pillows that double as home decor, and the Dr. Talk brand grows with the family through every stage and phase. Your baby deserves the best of the best, and you do too, mama. And for a limited time, our listeners will get the best deal they offer. Get 50% off with the code ARGUE at DocaTalk.com. So some of the things that I love about DocaTalk, they are the leaders of craftsmanship, and their stuff is so beautiful. If you're someone who loves aesthetics, everything is just gorgeous of their products. And it's they offer high-end, sought-after products at affordable prices. You will be the mama everyone looks to for baby recommendations because of your Dr. Talk products, and they're so cute. Let me tell you, the Dr. Talk that I feel like every new parent should have is the one that is the actual doc. It especially if you're somebody who, like me, I just wanted to always be able to have the baby close, even when the baby was asleep. And their docking station is so portable. It's so easy to use, and it's so comfortable. I actually have recommended it to several friends when they were having kids. I remember the first time someone gave me one, my girlfriend Emily. She was using it with her daughter, I do believe. So we got to use it some with Amar. It was a game changer. Dr. Talk is known for their best-selling sleep essentials, from swaddles to sleep bags to baby rompers. They are uniquely designed with buttery soft fabrics, elegant finishes to support and enhance the best time, which is rest time. Also, for all the nursing mamas out there, listen, y'all know I'm a huge nursing advocate, but sometimes it's not simple. Those traditional type of nursing pillows are very short-lived, and they are not attractive. They ain't something that you want to just have out in your house. So this is why I'm excited to introduce to you the Lamaman Wedge. It's created to lend new parents the support needed for feeding time. The Lamaman Wedge is designed to decrease neck and back strain that often goes along with nursing and bottle feeding. The Dr. Talk designed this pillow to complement your home decor, so there's no need to hide the decorative pillow when company stops by. You actually want to show it off. They also have a great new pillow, their new Coset pillow, and it helps you find the right sleeping positions, whether you're pregnant or postpartum, because that can become a task and a half. It is a simplified shape, lightweight construction, and clever design. Straps allow you to transport relief wherever you need it, whether in home or on the go. All right. And with Dr. Talk, you don't have to sacrifice style or safety. So mamas, babies, gift givers, this is the best brand you could buy for the precious child and mom you love most. For a limited time, get 15% off at docatalk.com with code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
That's 15% off with code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
At docatalk.com. Parenting is hard, but Dr. Talk makes it easier. Excuse me. I was making sure I wasn't saying
it. Sounded difficult to say.
I was like, am I saying this right? So my brain had to say, pause 1 second and let's find out. So, my Tanksley Pride story. Amar was a bit of a mar this trip, which I'm sure everybody expected for him to be. But his whole sleeping schedule is off, so we really didn't know how he was going to be. I signed him up. Even though he was eligible to do the swimming with the dolphins, that became a pricier ticket. And I was just like, he's not really going to remember it, but I do want him to have certain experiences, even though he is only three. So they had something called Sea Squirts, which at 9:30 in the morning, we had to meet up at this hotel, and he got to feed baby turtles and stingrays. Now, mind you, he wouldn't look the trainer in the eye. The trainer would say hello. Amar would roll his eyes and look away. He didn't want to interact.
Boy.
Yeah, he didn't want to interact because he was tired, right? He didn't understand why he was up out of this bed. So once we got there, the guy gave us, I didn't know how it was going to go when the guy gave us water shoes, because I was like, he might not be into it. But he let me put the water shoes on him because he had hurt his feet earlier in the week from the little fake Crocs I had him in. Well, then he was given a special shirt as a sea squirt as well. And I was like, okay, let's see if he's going to wear it. It was cool. Still not talking to nobody. And I didn't know if I could get him out the stroller. Well, then the guy was like, okay, we're going to feed these turtles over here. So we go, we're like on top of like kind of like a cliff and the turtles are down in the water. And the guy is like, we're going to feed them shrimp. They're raw shrimp. They're just sitting on ice and they're the shrimp with the, you know, they got the eyes, the antennas. These is just whole goddamn shrimp. And so he holds out a little shrimp to give to Omar. He was like, you want to feed the thing? Omar takes the shrimp and then he throws it over in the water. I was like, oh, he's about to. So he gives Omar the bucket, a bucket of shrimp. Omar is tossing them shrimp. It's only him, this one little white girl who was just too much of a little like princess. So she had to wear a glove. Omar was in that bucket with that. It could have been worms. Omar didn't care. He was like, they about to get this food. And we over there, like two old people, me and Omar, yelling at these goddamn old birds that kept trying to steal the shrimp from the turtles.
Seagulls are just, they need to go extinct.
Oh, yeah. They were just sitting right there beside. I was like, if y'all don't get on somewhere.
I was throwing water at them at the dolphin thing. They kept flying above trying to. I'm like.
Yeah, well, that's the trainer was even doing that. Omar threw all of the shrimp. He had a blast. Then we went. Then this is where I was like, okay. Now, during this time, during the turtle thing, I'm right beside him. So, you know, he's Gucci. He's like, mama's here. Grandma was there, too, my mother. So now when it's time to
do this. Water. She ain't nothing she can do.
Right. She just was on. But.
He's going to have to save her. Like, just stand up.
Right. Just sit up. The water was so low, she could just sit with her butt on the ground.
She's going to lay on her back flapping.
So for the stingray portion, we're walking through, and this is the part where he's like, your child has to go with me. You have to go around and stand on the bridge and watch, and you can get photos. So I was like, okay, now is he about to go with this black dude? I don't know. So the guy opens up the gate, and I kind of just push Omar in there, right? I'm like, all right, Omar. And so he, you know, he's got this look on his face, like, with his eyebrows furled. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, he ain't crying, so that don't matter. That facial expression really don't matter. So I go around and I see them walking out to the water, and there are tons of baby stingrays, right? There's so many. And there's a little step. They step down into the water, but not all the way where the stingrays are, just like a little shelf. Yeah. Now he's got a bucket of cut-up fish, and I see Omar now has on a glove. And I was like, Omar asked for a glove. God dang it. The little girl then influenced him. Mm-hmm. Omar proceeds to hold the bucket with the glove and take his bare hand to get the cut-up fish. And he is throwing it at the goddamn stingrays. He's now yelling at the birds. Not only that, he's talking to the stingrays, trying to get them to come to the food. He's like, here, come here to eat, instead of just throwing it. The little girl won't even come down to the shelf because she don't have on the right shoes. Amar's like, I don't care nothing about that. I'm having a blast. He emptied all the food out. Then the dude went and got him a real life starfish out of the water. Omar held the starfish. You all will see all of this in vlogs and Instagram stories and reels. And he, it was so funny. I was like, smile, Omar. And he was like, cheese. But his face didn't change.
Not a smile on it.
He held a conch. If y'all don't know what that is, like if you think of a really big seashell, the ones that you would like think some Greek god would blow into to do the animal that lives in there is like a soft shell, almost like a
soft shell.
The
thing you listen to the ocean in.
Yeah.
That's a conch shell.
It's almost like, I would almost call it something like a soft shell crab. It's not, but it has legs. So it's not like a snail.
Yeah.
Because it has legs.
Yeah,
so
it has legs, but it has no form. Like it's a clump of meat.
So its legs were hanging out, and Omar touched the legs and everything.
You said the guy was surprised when he did.
Yeah, he was like, oh my God, he's actually doing it. I was like, I knew he would eventually warm up. Now he still wouldn't talk to, the man said, he actually said some words to me. I was like, that's amazing. Cause he still doesn't talk to his daycare workers. Then we went and looked at, the barracudas, the sharks, in the aquarium. He was able to pick out the barracuda in the tank and point to it on the a drawing of it on a paper. Not like a colored, like a realistic one, but just like be able to tell the difference. Soon as that man said, all right, that's the end of the tour. When I tell you Omar stopped talking to that man, wouldn't look at that man, he was like, you are useless to me. But yeah, he definitely, while he still has a fear of people, he does not have a fear of experiences. He's still willing to like, if something seems cool, it seems neat, I told Marcus, I mean, for me, it was so overwhelming experiencing that, experiencing my mother watching her youngest grandchild do some really exclusive stuff as far as us as Americans. It might not be exclusive if you live on an island. On an island, you might be able to feed a stingray any day.
Yeah.
But it's a very exclusive thing to be able to do that in the Bahamas on a vacation that your daughter and son-in-law took you on, watching your baby do that. In little Amar, I will forever have video and footage of him getting to do that with his mom and his grandma, seeing how brave he was. I told Marcus the only thing that would have made it more overwhelming, like of a feeling of emotion, is if it would have been him and his dad, because they are actually animal lovers. Yeah. Like, me and my mom are not into animals like that. I do love sea creatures, but Marcus and his dad.
Daddy would have been all, he would have had all them kids and doing all them things with them, whatever animal.
Oh, yeah.
White dude, can't you put a muzzle on the shark? We can still get in there with him, can't we?
So it was just, there were multiple times during it that I was really, as much footage as I definitely got y'all footage. Y'all gonna get to see everything. Mm-hmm. There were moments where I got really present in the moment of like how significant it was to have that. My mother being 62 years old, experiencing stuff still for the first time in life. Mm-hmm. But also having those first time moments with her grandson. Oh, I meant to say 72. In my brain, okay. I said 72. She is 62.
She is not.
She is not 62.
You are 62.
72 years old, almost 73, still experiencing things for the first time and experiencing those with a 3-year-old. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they took, they ain't no telling where they went. They took Amar, the mamas did, downtown somewhere.
No, Marla Joy, who I think lives there, was like, it is not easy to do that stuff, even if you live there.
Oh, really? Yeah. Them dolphin trainers seemed like they were just living their best life. Like, you get to come over here with these things and just, yeah, I know you actually training and working, but you playing with these dolphins all day.
Oh, my God. I would be a shriveled prune. Just, I wouldn't have friends. They would be like, where you going out with my friends? You going to the aquarium. Yeah. going out for
Tracy,
drinks.
Palmer, Nayamu, and
oh, you said Tracy already. Ah, I don't remember.
I don't remember the fourth one.
Yeah, they were all dope, though. Okay, moving on. We get so caught up in our first segments. That's what takes us to get, it takes us forever to get through these goddamn podcasts. Okay, so next segment is Taking Sides.
Yes.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Jen Shah has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison for running a nationwide telemarketing fraud scheme. The Fed sees more than 100 items during the raid of Shah's home, but what the Real Housewives fans are most shocked about is to find that the feds found more than 70 counterfeit Chanel, Dior, Fendi, and Hermes handbags and jewelry. So, as we take sides, Marcus, what is your opinion on knockoffs? Are designer items really worth the price tag, or it's all about image? Take a side.
With me, I think it, because I think I'm on a different side of that. I think it depends on the person. Some people will get a luxury item just because it's that luxury item. You know, it could be something that they don't truly like, but if you put a certain logo on it, Chanel, Gucci, whatever, like, oh, this, I had a cousin that did that years and years ago. There was a G-Wagon, a Mercedes, the big boxy truck, SUV, and she saw it. She was like, oh my God, that thing is ugly. Why would anybody want to drive something like that? And then as we're driving and she goes around and sees it's a Mercedes, she's like, oh, okay. And all of a sudden, it looks good to her.
It looked nice.
Because it's a Mercedes, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are people like that, especially with fashion, high fashion, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So for them, you know, knockoff is, I imagine knockoff is perfectly fine if that's just the image they want to put out. Mm-hmm. I probably honestly don't see a problem with it, but I'm not one of those people. If I get something that's luxury, I'm going to get it because I like it, and it's because it's that brand. It's going to be a combination. I'm going to have to like it. Mm-hmm. I just ain't going to get something. If you take off that I have this quote unquote, if it's high fashion, if you take off that high fashion sticker and put a different sticker on there, if you put Champs on there, I'm still going to look at it and be like, that's dope. I still want it. But there are people, a lot of people that just like it just because of what it is. Like, I ain't going to start calling you out, but you got some high fashion stuff. But some of these places make really high quality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, me, I'm not into the knockoff because I'm getting it because of the quality and because I actually like it. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to get something that's not that, I ain't going to get it just because it's cheaper and looks like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it just depends on the individual.
I think it does depend on the individual. If I speak for myself, I think it might be a little bit of both. I've definitely purchased some things that I'm just like, are you ugly? I think you might be ugly, but I'm going to get you anyway. I think you might be actually very ugly, but you know what? You ain't cheap, and even if you are ugly, people going to know I spent some money on it, so you must be of good quality, even though you are ugly, right?
Yeah.
However, comma, I still love a good deal. So for me, mainly if I spend money on something luxury, for instance, these shoes I have on are red bottoms. Let me tell you the benefit. Listen, let me tell you the benefit. I wore these all during tour. Mm-hmm. Tour last year or the year before last with Kevin. I stomped the insole out of these shoes, okay, from all the stuff that I did. These shoes were not cheap. We sent these Victory. Sent these shoes back in for me, and they repaired these shoes, and they are just like new for free. These are the things that I'm now like, okay, I will appreciate something luxury in that way.
Because you're getting what you pay for.
Right. I didn't realize. I never understood. You know, we just now started buying things that would be considered luxury brand in 2021. Okay, we hadn't bought nothing of the sort. All of my purses were from Target or from Jessica Simpson, and I still love both.
Don't do that. I didn't got you.
Oh, Marcus has bought me things. Like, he bought me Dooney. and then...
that was high fashion.
Come on, Dooney and Birch. But for me, I just was like, if it's a cute purse, then I want it. It's not about the name brand of it all. But if I know that I'm going to get really great service, if I know you're going to repair my stuff if it breaks,
right,
I'm going to look at you a little bit differently and be like, no, I might get you. Because Target is going to be like, you can buy another one at another location.
Yeah, because that's it. That is a huge difference. It's like you get just like with a vehicle, you might see, let's just use Mercedes, for example. You get the Mercedes, and they got a 100,000-mile warranty, but then the Lexus got a 300,000-mile warranty and a better warranty, and it looks better.
Yeah.
You're going to go with the one that don't look as good? It's going to cost more?
Mm-hmm.
Or the least of those two?
But the only thing that I could see purchasing the knockoff version is possibly the jewelry of these brands.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all see me in some LV or some GC earrings, there's a good chance they are fake. I don't have any. I do not have any. But because I now have a couple of Gucci items, if I really was like, I would love for my look to have the theme going all the way down. Because like I have a belt, I have a couple of shoes, I have a purse. If I was like, oh, I'm going to really Gucci this out, there's a good chance I'm not going to buy real Gucci earrings.
Let me tell you what. We were in, what was that, Louis Vuitton?
Mm-hmm.
Simple-ass earrings that had the LV.
Mm-hmm.
Them things was like $4,000 or $5,000. It's just an L and a V.
Yeah, no. No.
That to me, that makes no sense. Like, Angel will tell you, I don't like a brand that has its logo all over it. I don't want nothing with Louis or Gucci or this is Ball. I don't want nobody's logo all over my clothes. I want to wear it because it looks good, not because of who it is. Mm-hmm. So it goes to let you know. It's like, I don't give a damn. If it looks good, I'm going to wear it. Mm-hmm. Like Angel was telling me, you need to start doing like fashion things, because I will buy some stuff off Amazon. A lot of these jackets that I'll be wearing, y'all are like, oh, that's a nice jacket. Amazon, $35.
Marcus is really good with high lows. Marcus like, will wear everything on his body other than the shoes combined cost $60, $60 to $80. And then the shoes were like $1,200.
Lie again. No, $1,200. First of all, my shoes are more expensive because they're bigger. But
okay, $650.
That ain't my fault. I can't avoid
regardless.
That.
Regardless. Katrina, Coach
first
is
of all,
back.
No,
honey.
No, hold on.
Coach
let me
is
tell you.
Back.
Let me tell you. Big girl. I went in Coach because Angel wanted this purse. She's been going on and on about this Coach purse. I walked up in Coach. I was like, what new designer or with an engineer, I don't know, whoever designs their stuff, artists, do they have working for Coach? Because mm-hmm. Coach, had, they got some stuff that I got that in different colors. I'm like, I want that one. They got some dope backpacks. They Coach done, they doing some things. But I looked at it like, let's call them, I don't know if it's a designer, let's call them a designer. Coach designer, maybe a lot of these fashion designers may be just like auto manufacturer engineers, uh-huh. where like people say the Bentley looks just like the Genesis. It's like it's literally the same architect or designer that designed those cars. Engineer, mm-hmm. the same engineer designed both of those vehicles. They just hired him too, so he's gonna keep this because it's his. It's his design. And these high fashion lines may do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Charles Easton, he designs a really good purse. Let's bring him over. Let's hire him. He designed that one for Chanel. Guess what? The Coach one's going to look just like the Chanel because the same dude designed it.
Juanita said, Coach never left. No, I'm saying Coach is back in the conversation. Coach had kind of like Michael Kors, I think right. once it became too commercialized, it kind of pulled themselves out of the discussion when people talk about high-end brands.
Right.
Once Coach got Jennifer Lopez as their spokesperson, it was like they said, now let's click into what it is to be fashion forward. So you'll see them on at the front of a trend instead of, mm-hmm. oh, everybody else is doing this. Now let's
that's
us
one
do
of,
it.
That's one of the reasons why Gucci started doing so many different
collabs.
So many different collabs and so many different colors because people got tired of seeing that red and green. It was the same thing over and over and over. It's just like, okay, you're going to do anything different. So people start venturing out. That's how other brands started coming up. Like, oh, we could charge a lot for a logo too.
Yeah. But long story short, I do think some people get so caught up in the brand name.
Yeah.
That
no, they definitely do.
That they're willing to buy knockoffs. For me, I will only buy something ugly if I think the service I'm going to get is really great and I think I can make it work. But if it's not that, I'd rather have something really nice, really pretty. Y'all know I get a lot of my stuff from black boutiques. Like this jacket, which I did not mean to have on during this podcast. It was raining and I just needed something on my skin. It's from J. Bolin. I don't like it half the time. Sometimes I like it. Regardless, J. Bolin, black owned boutique out of Hute, or somewhere in Texas. Or the stuff that I get from Spoiled Boutique. These are black owned boutiques. That stuff gets more comments, more likes, more questions, more where did you get that from mm-hmm. than any of the high end stuff that I get.
And the reason being, one of those is because they don't just have J. Bolin plastered all over it. It's all about design.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, when they don't have a real like sense of style, a lot of times their go-to is just let me get the name that everybody yeah. knows so that people will feel like I like have some sort of status or class versus literally going for whatever they aesthetically like
yeah.
and getting it that
yeah,
way.
A lot of people know I'm into shoes. I never get shoes because of what kind of shoe it is. I buy shoes with color and outfit in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
he
comfort.
Does.
I really do. I don't care who, like, I remember I've said it before. People are like, oh, you got the new SG7s. I'm like, I don't know what these things is called or how you know what they are. I saw them on the site, and I like the color, and I bought them. VaporMax is my thing because they come in a whole bunch of different colors.
Real quick, I would like this jacket more if this white collar wasn't so big. That's the point. I just look like a pimp. This collar is huge. You can serve dinner like on this pimp. Left lapel. It is so huge. Hey. I like it. I like it. Okay, let's go quickly through. This is our problem. We take forever to get through our topics. Jesus. So our Patreon had to help us before we started the episode to get to our main topic, which we decided to switch up. And I wonder if this is going to move into the next episode because it's so good. There is a woman on TikTok whose handle is Raising Self. Her name is Samantha Sophia. I've come across two of her videos. A lot of her stuff is just random about her life, but she has some really interesting discussions with her child, who I don't know how old he is. She's a mother of three, But this one has pretty much gone viral. It has 1.9 million views. But I'm going to let y'all hear the video and then we'll start the discussion.
Asking questions to a parent figure shouldn't be a sign of respect.
And I completely agree with you.
I think it's because they don't know how to actually explain it to them.
Sometimes, or the things that they want to know shouldn't be explained to them.
But it shouldn't just be because I said so.
I agree. We agree.
Did you not see that episode of Bluey? What? You saw it.
Which
episode? Why do parents say it? Because I said so. Why do parents say it?
Because they don't have the time to explain.
They're tired. They're frustrated. There's other stuff going on. And it's an easy cop-out. Is it right? No.
But like, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should say, I'll explain it later. But here's the thing. I also think, even if they say that, it feels like they won't explain it later. Because there's always something more important.
Ooh.
What do you mean there's always something more?
There's always something, important than explaining something to your child.
So there were so many things in that video. The boy's body language, he was like,
yeah.
You gonna get these words.
Yeah, it's a very strong and stern physical presence that he's putting himself into.
Well, even the fact that the parents are sitting, and I described the boy all wrong. I said he had on glasses. It was his daddy that had on glasses. Anyways, he's standing up while the parents are sitting down. So he's already standing at like a taller,
elevated level.
And he's very passionate about his point of view. Like
right.
You can tell by his body language. You can tell by how he starts to articulate certain words for it to land. In the discussion underneath this video, a lot of people were like, his tone was disrespectful. His body language was a bit much. And even the conversation that he was having was, I don't think that asking questions should be a sign of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to hear your side about it, especially concerning our kids. Where is that line at for you?
For me, well, first let me comment on those people's comments on this video. And this, as we were looking for this video, you know, we had to go down the whole chain of like
gentle
parenting, which 99% of the people out there are using that term completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And they don't know what gentle parenting is. I ain't gonna go down that rabbit hole, but people see someone having a discussion or having an interaction with their child and they're so quick to judge. I'm like, you don't know that person or their child. Shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
You have your punk ass kids over and your punk ass self. Go do y'all and let them do them.
True.
People put up videos and it's just like, you got somebody that, what's it called, stitching it.
Mm-hmm. It's come like, on, you better know these terms.
What you should have done in this situation, what you should have done is shut the fuck up. Because that's not your child. You don't know the history. You don't know them people or that child.
Mm-hmm.
But my stance on it is like this young man. Granted, I wouldn't have, if my child was that well spoken, I would be willing to hear them out. Just like, okay. And the way his body language is coming off is just like, we looking at it, it's like, now it seems like it can be a kind of much, but we don't know that child. He seems very emotionally intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
He can articulate himself very well, and he's just expressing his feelings. Mm-hmm. How he's doing it, it may just be the way he is.
Yeah.
You know, me, like your mom was saying it, y'all used to argue a lot. I'm like, that's fine. Your mom was like, well, I just ain't used to people, you know, a couple talking to each other that way. And I was like, this is the only daughter you have that's only had one husband. It worked out just fine.
It's going great.
It's us. This is what we do. But so for my children, it's going to be different from anybody's child watching. Marcus ain't like no other child in the house. Neither is Amar, neither is Kai, neither is Sai. Ain't like nobody else. They are their own person. Marcus coming. Right, let's take the twins because they right there beside each other.
Wait a minute, but don't be shading my sisters, though.
I'm not. Well, I'm sorry. Let me shade your mama. She. No, I'm not. I'm not shading.
No,
I'm
but
saying.
His point was like you've seen a couple of different examples of.
No, because it was examples that was great. I've never seen anybody that, you know, a couple go like it. I'm like, yeah, but it works for us,
right?
No, I ain't shading nobody, but I am. Nah, I love them heifers. Anyway, like the way. So perfect example, Sai, him coming at us questioning how we do something versus Kai coming at us the same way, I'm going to look at it differently because they're two different children. Mm-hmm. Kai, I can see him going into a deeper thought to where Sai is just going to want his way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be like, Sai, because I said so. But Kai, I know, goes deeper, thinks a lot deeper because I've taken time to listen to both of these children. So somebody on the outside looking at that is like, well, why does he favor this one over that one? I don't. I know their personalities. I know where Sai's thought process is going. And I don't know where Kai's is going because he has a really deep thought process. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, let me hear what this boy is trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sai's not going to reach that point. He just wants the goddamn Sarah, whatever.
Yeah.
So for me, it really depends on the child. It depends on who the person is, who the child, the history of that relationship. It's too many variables. Like I said, none of my kids, Marcus, but he's not that vocal. He's that emotionally attached, not at that age, because how old is this little boy?
I don't know.
Although you said he was like 8 or something.
I'm assuming based off of how he looks like he's probably 9 years old.
Okay,
maybe 10.
Yeah, Marcus was not that emotionally intelligent at that age. Mm-hmm. But Marcus is very emotionally intelligent now. So I, even with that posture, that's not his demeanor. That's not his personality to stand at that way. His is going to be more of a inquiring, like, so why is it this and not like a debate?
Mm-hmm.
And the way he approaches us, that's how we respond. It's just like, well, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's never like a combative, not even combative, because I wouldn't even say he was being combative. He was just looking for answers. But yeah, the energy is going to be different. That's a completely different child.
Speaking of little Marcus, he admitted to us this week.
He did.
That he be cussing. We
He didn't
died.
Even admit it. He just.
No, this is what I said. Yeah. Because I was trolling him all this weekend because I look so young. And so anytime we were walking and I was like holding his arm, I was like, it's okay, guys. This is just my son. He's not my boyfriend. I know it's confusing. I look 14, so it's hard to tell. So I was doing
she
that all weekend.
Walking through the resort. This is not my
boyfriend.
It's my son.
So confusing. I get it, right? He's just shaking his head. And so I did it when we were on the plane. And little Marcus just kind of looks at me through his glasses with like squinty eyes. And I said, I feel like he's cussing at me quietly in his head. I said, do you do that sometimes? He was like, yes. I said, oh, my God. I said, oh. And then his daddy said, little Marcus.
Did you think she said cussing? What did you think she said? He said cussing. I said, oh, so what you be saying?
Give me an example. He said, do you be cussing? Little Marcus was like, mm-hmm.
I said, so what you be saying, Marcus? Say it. He was
said, I said, don't do it. Don't you do it. And I let him know. I said, just so you know, it'll never be cool for you to cuss in conversation with us, even if you're not cussing at us. It's not going to be cool until you are a grown adult.
He knows that he cannot let us hear him cuss.
Right.
He knows that. That's not even a discussion that we needed to have.
Yeah.
Because of our relationship. He knows
that.
Because
you be cussing at your teachers. He was like, No. I said, okay.
I mean, I was cussing my time. I was saying kind of age, so. I was around a lot of hood kids in elementary school. Them
don't blame it on everybody else. Take accountability.
I learned it from them.
You learned it from your parents.
No, I learned it from them. I heard it just like our kids hear it. I just never said it until I got to school and they was dropping MFs like crazy.
Listen, I'm sure of it.
I was thinking to myself, we in third grade, dude.
When I looked at it, I thought about a couple of things. I'm going back to the video in reference. The statement that the little boy made, I don't think it's disrespectful for a kid to ask questions. And I do have to say that I sometimes have a hard time being in that mindset of my children are not asking me a question, because a lot of times we'll give them instruction and then they'll come back with a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I will indulge them. Other times I'm like, yo, don't make me ask you again. I said so. And like,
so do it. And then we can talk about it after you done and I'm done.
Right. And like the parents said, that sometimes it can be just a complete cop out because this is not the time nor the situation. And two, it don't even matter. You know what I'm saying?
It really don't.
In certain cases, it don't matter why I said it. I said it. Okay. And this is what's going to need to be done. However, I do think the thing that I got caught off with in the comments, and what I get caught off with in the comments of a lot of, specifically, sorry to generalize, gentle parenting, black gentle parents, is that there is a lot of finger pointing at black parents, especially those who raised us and those who are now going through the parenting journey. I want to believe, because we have sane parents that raised us, regardless of sometimes when they seem crazy, that for the most part, I can say for myself, I'm not going to speak for my sisters because my mother was at a completely different age. They used the tools that they had been allotted and the privileges that they had been allotted at the time in which they had us to raise us. So a lot of the things that come with gentle parenting are privileges, meaning we are of a privileged day and age where our kids can take longer to learn lessons. Where when we were raised, or specifically when our parents were raised, certain lessons had to be learned quicker. It couldn't be this thing of, okay, I'm gonna let you keep messing this up by being patient with you and allowing you to mess this up. It was a thing of, you quickly have to learn what respectful language sounds like.
Yeah.
You quickly have to learn how to do this task in order for you not to get in trouble with someone that is not me. And I think a lot of people forget that. And they're like, oh, we've got to undo all this trauma. The reason why people.
A trauma was survival.
And people don't realize that we're still in it.
That's a fact.
It is a. I think a lot of times people don't realize that the reality for especially black families is still very much different depending on where you're living. When you live in a very predominant black neighborhood, there are a lot of things that you actually are allotted to be able to do with your child if it's a safe neighborhood, because outside eyes aren't necessarily there to cause danger to your child if they're not behaving in the way. You might be getting judged by other black parents, for sure. Your child might be getting judged, but they're not there to cause danger. Where when you live in a predominantly other area, there is still the danger of, if you don't learn this lesson sooner than later, if you do not show the type of behaviors that need to be shown in public for you to be deemed as someone safe, this could be, or not even like safe, even in the school, if you are then labeled and we are having to fight against this certain thing, it is going to be an uphill battle for the longest time. So I do believe that in the world of gentle parenting, conscious parenting, while I think this family, from what I'm seeing, is doing a great job with this young boy. I can also see that there is a bubble of privilege that they have, which I think is amazing. I wouldn't take that away from anybody, to be able to have the privilege of taking the time to, and let me say, some of us who are still very aggressive in our parenting, we got some time and we just ain't willing to give it up. So I'm not going to say that.
We could allot that toward other things.
I'm not going to say that we still like on top of it and being authoritative because it's all about protecting our kids. Sometimes we just being lazy and don't want to take the time to like have these discussions, because that does take up time. Their brains ain't moving that fast. They might be emotionally intelligent, but you still have to break things down to a level, and you got to see if you even know how to break it down, to be honest.
That's what I was about to, go ahead.
Go ahead, baby.
So there was a time, I know I've told this story before, something that, I mean, it terrified me, scared the hell out of me. This is at our old house. I walk into the dining room area and I look over and Kai is down on the floor and has taken the outlet cover, the little protectors off, and has a hairpin stuck into the outlet. Luckily, it was the neutral side. And as soon as I seen it, I was like, hey, you know, clap, stop. Because it scared me. I saw the thing sticking out and I saw his hand on it. I don't know. At the time, I didn't know if he was getting shot, because 120 makes your hand lock up. That's why it kills a lot of people, because you can't let go. And I went over and I saw it was on the neutral side, but you never can be safe. Luckily, it had a jacket on it. It had a, it wasn't a hairpin. It was a paper clip. It had a little, you know, the colorful ones. So it had like a little rubber jacket on it. So I don't know how long he had done that or what. So I'll go grab some, you know, some insulated, pulled it out. And I was like, you can't do that. And I'm sitting there telling him that it's dangerous. You can't do that. You could get hurt. I knew at his age, none of that was like, he wasn't, it was going in one ear and out the other. So I walk into the room and I'm still nervous. I'm like pacing, like, oh my God, like how serious could that have been? Cause he's at the age to where he's mechanically inclined enough to remove any protection that's on the thing and stick something in there. And finally a couple minutes walked by and I finally calmed down and I took him back over to the outlet, pointed to him, and I smacked his hand really hard. I was like, do not touch this. And somebody may look at that. It's like, oh, you need to talk to your parent. No, there's no time to talk to a child about something like that. Like, that's life and death. Shut the hell up. They need to know this is going to cause pain. Daddy's going to get pissed off if I touch this. I'd rather them know that lesson than to have to learn a different lesson of getting rushed to the hospital. Yeah. And that's that whole people, like, trying to judge the people that do the gentle parenting wrong, that think just talking and doing this and that and soothing is quote-unquote gentle parenting. Somebody would have seen that. It's like, well, no, there's books. Shut up. Ain't no book on this, all right? I'm trying to keep my kids alive. It's that simple. You know, it's the same thing. Simple. One of them was about to run across the street. I yelled at them, hey, I need them to jar that. Mm-hmm. Then I yell at them, you do not do this. That ain't no just sit down and discuss and hope they get and maybe the next time it won't happen. No, it ain't going to be no next time. Mm-hmm. I need to stop that right there and then call it, oh, lack of intelligence, you need to do that. Call it whatever you want. In that case, my parents was dumb as hell, and they may have raised a very well and successful person. And I'm trying to do the same thing.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you for that trip down memory lane. Yeah. That is a perfect example. But yes, I do think that more discussions with kids and being able to have them fully articulate their point of view on things is beneficial regardless. Like Marcus said, it would depend on my child and how I knew how they expressed it. I can tell a disrespectful tone from one of my own kids.
Right.
I ain't got to, whether it be loud or soft, I know if my child is being disrespectful.
Yeah. If it's a mumble or a whisper, it's like, we know. Mm-hmm. They know when they keep people know if their child's being disrespectful.
And the big thing that the mom had said in a follow-up video that I liked, and something that, you know, I'm trying to be more cognizant as I'm becoming more emotionally intelligent, is that some kids have really big emotions. And it's hard to, hell, some adults, let me just not put it on kids. It's hard to sometimes harness it when it starts to bubble up in conversation. One of our kids, for him, like, he goes from zero to, like, tears flowing out of his eyes very fast. There's not a, it's hard for him to gauge it.
Yeah.
To where once he feels it, it's hard for him not to start going ahead and start crying. It used to bother me. Now I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, go ahead and cry, but continue to talk to me and explain to me what you're feeling and explain to me what your thoughts are in this moment. And I think a lot of
actually,
times
we do two of them like that.
We
it's
do
like what one, it seems like, likes to cry. It's like, go to your room, get it out and come back down when you can actually finish a sentence.
Yeah.
And then that's when we have the discussion.
That's when we can have the discussion. I think a lot of times that's the thing. I'll give you something to cry for. That is something I'm having to untrain myself from realizing that some people, even though I have a very strong like harness on my emotions, that's not the case for everybody. It's not the case for my boys. And realizing that their crying can be present and we can still have a conversation. Well, one of them, no, but the one, they can cry. We can still have a conversation and allow or even take a little small break in order for them to get their thoughts together. But those are some things that I'm having to unlearn as a parent. But I still consider myself an authoritative parent. I called it something else. It was like it's not adjusted, but it's more authoritative than gentle. This just ain't me. But anyways, I would love to know your thoughts about it. We're going to put the link to that video that's on TikTok in the the notes of this episode. Again, you guys, I hope you check out our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
They are Plates, also Plates, known as Every Plates, and DocaTalk. Please use our promo codes. We're going to start back audience questions or tank our advice next week. So go ahead and start submitting those. Our Patreon is who we usually pull from. And y'all already know where to send those questions to. We would love for it to be a voice memo for us to be able to play during the show. You can find me at That Chick Angel across all platforms. And the Mama Likes purses are still available. The Mama Likes boxes that I dropped at the end of last year. So if you would like to get you a sweet yams or a peanut butter or a banana pudding purse, you can go to
be the spring collection.
Listen, them purses is fire. And listen, and they designer, but they ain't designer prices. Hey, you can go to shopmamalikes.com. Yeah. Babe, tell them what you're thinking.
Y'all can find me on Instagram at Marcus Allen Lickwood.
Somebody asked about the chair and the Lowe's. Oh. So we just going to keep that for Patreon then.
All right. Y'all come back through to Patreon and actually let's schedule a date.
No, we going
to. Oh,
we
no, no. We can just do. Oh,
yeah, after this.
And
yeah.
Then if you ain't on Patreon, you can go over on Patreon, go to the end of the video and see the Lowe's update. But y'all can find me on Instagram at Marcus Allen Graham, Facebook at Marcus Ain't on the Book, TikTok at Tank Don't Talk. And you can find my beard and body butter called Man Shit. You can go to manshyt.com and check that out.
Yes. So until next time, you guys, y'all be blessed.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Bye.